The stewardship team has selected these five words. Last week it was hope. This week it is praise. Next week it's joy. When you think of praise, you think of someone saying good things about what you've done. When you think of praise, you think of being lauded and of being complimented. Praise does not have, by and large, a negative connotation. It's good. It feels good. It takes us to a new place. And in our worship, we think of praise as hands lifted and voices raised. We sing to God a hymn of gladness. We sing to God a hymn of praise. And in our opening text this morning from Isaiah 61, it is easy to praise God. Students of Isaiah will know that the first 39 chapters of Isaiah are called Proto-Isaiah. 1 through 39 is God warning the people, you are not living the way I've called you. You are not being my sons and daughters. Live fully into who I've made you to be. Proto-Isaiah, 1 Isaiah, those first 39 chapters are a call to repentance. God tells God's people, if you will not heed my voice, there is a pot boiling in the north and it will turn over. It was Assyria. And the people did not listen. And then, in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, after God's people have been taken into captivity, the Babylonian captivity, you will see in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, it starts out, comfort, comfort ye my people, says the Lord of hosts. I will repay you double for what has happened to you. From 40 to 54, it's called Second Isaiah. And even though the people are in captivity, those chapters in Isaiah speak hope, speak restoration, speak the promise that God has said, though you disobeyed me and you are now in captivity, yet will I come. In Isaiah 43, it says, you are mine. When you cross through the water, you won't be it will not overflow you. When the fire comes, you will not be burned. In Isaiah 43, it says, forget the former things. Don't you see I'm doing something new? In all of those chapters in 2 Isaiah, while they are in captivity, God is promising them that there will be deliverance, that there is hope. And the third portion of Isaiah, from chapter 55 to 61, to 66, in which our 61st chapter, which you heard Ted read, is located in Tridio, in 3rd Isaiah, 55 to 66. What is going on? Is that God's people are back in Israel. They are back where they once had a glorious temple that is no more. They are back where they heard their ancient father David say, I have built this place for God and my son Solomon has finished it and God's name and God's spirit will abide forever and that temple is no more. But God in Tridio, 3rd Isaiah, speaks to them and says, yet will I give you hope. And the people respond, as you heard Ted read, my heart will explode with praise for this God that I disobeyed, this God that allowed me into captivity. This God has clothed me in a suit of salvation. I am now saved. In Isaiah 61, they've been transformed and now they are glorifying God. In Isaiah 61, it is easy to lift their hands in praise. It's easy to say that this joy that wells up inside of me, I will allow to overflow. When you think of praise, you think of a text like Isaiah 61. But beloved, what happens when this act of public praise Tehillah, what happens when this halal to praise with vigor, which we find in Isaiah 61, which we find when Israel is clothed in a suit of salvation, what happens when those are the words and your feet are in stocks? What happens when you're Paul and Silas and you've been walking along and there is a woman who is praising God and Paul gets annoyed? In Sunday school, I said not all preachers like people. Actually, what I said was I don't always like people. Paul didn't always like people either. She is praising God to the high heavens and he becomes annoyed and calls the demon out of her. And you heard Ted read the text. Her owners who were making money on her are now angry and they go to the leaders and say, these men are teaching seditious ideas and creating foment in our community. And the leaders come. They've done nothing wrong. The leaders come and they attack Paul and Silas. They flog them with a cat of nine tails. They throw them in the jail and not just the cell, but the innermost cell. How is it that you praise in this place? How is it that you praise when it looks like your life is over? How is it that you praise when all things are going wrong? How is it in our nation that we still gather on Sunday to praise God when bullets rain down in Las Vegas? How is it that we gather in this place to praise God when wind rises up from across the Atlantic and islands and people are no more? How is it that we praise God when our national discourse has been reduced to 140 characters? How is it? How is it that we dare gather? And praise in the midst of what seems like such challenge in so many parts of the world? How dare we praise when some here are wondering about job situations? How dare we praise when some here are wondering about health situations or money situations? How dare we praise when the stewardship campaign has just begun and there are only 3 cards turned in as of Friday? One of them's mine. One of them's Clark's. I didn't open the third one. You wrote your name on yours. That's why I know it's yours. How dare we praise? Beloved, I am confident that praise does not have its greatest strength when it's easy to do this. I am confident that when all is going well, praise is an extra. I am confident that when we are blessed beyond measure and praise issues out of our mouth, it's almost as if there's nothing else we can do. But it's in these moments, of challenge that praise is its most powerful. Here, 2 minutes of a song. You have the lyrics with you on an orange piece of paper.
Come on, songs. It goes like this. Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise. I will praise you while I can. How blessed you act.
Praise you.
I bow to praise you.
When will you praise him?
When you gonna praise him, church? Through the good and the bad. I'll praise you.
When?
Thank you. your mouth right now and give him what you owe him. Give him what you owe him.
What you owe him? We owe you praise? Why would we owe you praise? God, do you need our praise?
Praise is what I do. Even when I'm going through.
Even
when I'm going. See, I finally learned, church.
I learned to worship.
In the worst moments, God.
And I declare,
no, my circumstance
doesn't even stand a chance. Cause
my praise
outweighs the bad. There's another word for praise that gets used in the Hebrew Bible. It is yada. It's actually the one that gets used second most. Tefillah, which is to praise in this way, is the predominant word. But yada is second. And yada is to cast off. How do you praise God when, like Paul and Silas, you are in the innermost jail? You cast off what the world is doing. You cast off what the world has given, and you take on your identity as a child of God. You take on your identity. Paul and Silas could have had yada in their voice. They could have had that word in their mouth, casting down what the magistrate had said, casting down that they were in this prison. Like the gentleman who was just singing, they were casting down the bad and understanding that their praise was more powerful than the bad. We praise in easy moments, but when we can lift our heart and praise in difficult moments, we do several things. The first thing we do is we understand who God is and who we are. Children of the Most High God, the same promises that were extended to Israel when God was trying to warn them, when God was giving them hope, when God was dressing them in suits of salvation, that same promise is for you and me. So in the most difficult moments, we can hear Israel's voice saying, "This is the God I serve, a God who will not leave me in the stocks, but who has ready for me a suit of salvation, not because I'm perfect." Thank you, God, for Israel's example, for they blew it in chapters 1 through 39. The suit of salvation that you promised me, and the reason why I can praise is not because of who I am, but because of who you are. When we praise, the first thing we do is we remember that God is our creator, that God has said, "I will not leave you or forsake you." Just like in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, God says, "When difficulty comes, I am with you. You will not be lost." We praise to remind ourselves who God is. And we praise to set our trajectory. You see, when things go wrong, I end up in a place where I feel weighted and burdened down. When things go wrong, it feels as if I cannot yada, if I cannot throw off Ah, but if I will practice that yada, if I will practice that throwing off, I change my position and I change my trajectory. If I stand straight up, even in the midst of difficulty, and lift my hands, nobody stands on my back. If I can stand up and yada throw off in the midst of praise, then I change the way my voice goes forward. When I stand up, I change what my eyes see. When I stand up, I change the blood flow in my very body. When I stand up, I change the trajectory of my own life. Praise raises me up that I might see in a brand new way. And praise literally changes your brain. On the narthex counter, there's a copy of a Time article from about 4 years ago that I just adore. It's talking primarily about singing, and singing is one of the ways of praising, but it does more than speak about singing. It speaks about what happens when we fill ourselves with melodies that are good. It talks about the biorhythms in our bodies. It talks about the brain waves that are created and that go out. When you sing, God gave us music. You heard the choir. When you sing, you literally change the chemistry of your being. And what that article says is when you come together and sing in a group, you not only change your chemistry, but the chemistry of the whole environment changes. If you've ever seen the master singers sing, you know that when they start to sing, the room begins to shift. And beloved, when we begin to praise together, this room and all of those who are in it begin to shift. And here's what I know about when we come together to praise, that there are days when I am so weighted down that I'm not able to lift up to change my trajectory. There are days when the things in my life are so heavy that my yada has ebbed away. But if I hear you begin to sing with power and with strength, if I hear you begin to yada, to throw off what has bound you, your singing in this room lifts me up. Our praise reminds us who God is. Our praise reminds us that we can change our trajectory, our position. Our praise reminds us that we can literally change the chemistry in our being, and we can bless those who are around us. Praise is a weapon against that which comes against us. I dare you to sing out loud when something goes wrong. I dare you to sing blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Meaning, I don't have it right now, but oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I am purchased of God. I invite you to sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. In other words, there's no power out there more powerful than the one about whom we sing. I invite you to sing, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Not because I'm joyful now, but because when I sing those words, I change my trajectory. I invite you to sing, all to Jesus. I surrender all to him, whatever is weighing me down, whatever is blocking my yada, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. And in his presence, the psalmist tells us there are good things and righteousness forevermore. Beloved, you have a weapon in your mouth. It is your praise. You have a power to shift the environment. Paul and Silas should have been just simply praying, but no, they were praising because they knew their praise would change their environment. And it tells us in the text that others were listening. When you're frustrated in the grocery store, I dare you to start humming a hymn. I dare you. I dare you. When you're ready to flip somebody off, I know this never happens to anybody but me, I dare you. Pick your favorite hymn. Pick your favorite inspirational song. I live in the world of hymns. Not everybody does. Pick the song that inspires you. just start to hum it, your temperature will change. And this, I now do it as a regular experiment. When stuff is crazy and I'm standing in line, I start to hum and people are like calming down around me. Only once have I had somebody tell me to shut up. It did happen once. It changes the environment. So I stand here now on the second Sunday of our stewardship campaign, on a Sunday when we have three cards, at least as of last Friday, and I stand to praise God. Not because all of the money has been collected, not because everybody's pledged. I stand to praise God because I trust God. I believe God. I throw off my worries about anything that might happen in this church because it's not mine. It's God. I stand to lift my heart, arms, and give a general act of praise because I trust God. I praise before the solution is clear. I praise before the answers are given. I praise because it's not up to me or you or us anyway. As God speaks in this campaign, as God guides in this campaign, I trust God loves this church, God's church, enough to bring the resources so I can praise now and in our lives, no matter what's going on, through the good and the bad, through the happy, through the sad, you and I can still praise. For the God who gave us the gift of music, the God who placed praise deep within our being, the God who made us instruments of praise, the God who tells us it's a weapon in our warfare against the things that come against us, that same God is still sovereign and still guiding and still loving and still blessing. I will praise you, God. Whether I'm happy or sad, I will praise you in all that I go through because praise is what we do. And we owe it, our God. Oh, hallelujah. We owe it, our God, to you. Amen.